Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning. Let me get this. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Okay, just want to make sure that I get my headsets on here so that you can hear me loud and clear and I can hear the audience. Just want to say thank you so very much for tuning in this morning. I thank God for you. Absolutely, they could say marvelous. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for, because you know what? You're going to get it. It may not come when you think it's going to come, but it is coming, and it will be on time. Trust me. I'm trying to send out the post. Just bear with me 1 second. I apologize for that. Switchboard here. I'm sorry. I'm dragging. I'm explaining to you 1 second. Okay. Whew. Like I tell the Lord sometimes, can we just start all over again? So I'm going to say to the audience, good morning, good morning, and can we just start all over again? I tell you, this morning was, I don't want to say it's a challenging morning, because it wasn't challenging. It was just interesting. First of all, I think this is the first time, maybe the second, in all of going on 8 years, that I've forgotten it was Saturday morning. Most amazing thing. I'm laying there, the alarm went off, and I'm just relaxing because I'm so tired from actually all the things that we were doing. In Florida, I don't know where I was, but I was like, moving around, laying there, and the alarm went off, and my spirit said, you need to get up. It's Saturday morning. I was like, are you serious? I'm thinking the day is Friday. So, of course, you know, that puts a speed on me, you know, I'm just moving around. Finally, I said, you know, calm down. Because the one thing I know I can depend on is that the Holy Spirit will speak. And all I got to do is just release myself to him, and he will speak, and that makes me look good, feel good, and puts me in a good position. It puts no pressure on me. So remember that. Use the Holy Spirit. Don't even worry about what you're going to say. He said, you will know what you're going to say within the hour. I will put it into your mind. So he will let you know. You will not. I don't care if you're speaking. Anywhere you're speaking, if you get frustrated and you don't know what you're doing and you say, oh, Lord, I need some help. Holy Spirit, help me. Just release yourself to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I release myself to you now, and I allow you to use my body. You speak. You know who's out there. You know what they need to hear. You speak. And when you do that, you just rest. That's exactly what he's doing. You know, God just wants you to give him permission to use your body. He's a gentleman. He will not just rape you and take something that he has given to you back. He's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give it to you and take it back. He gave it to you, and he gave you full power and authority. And he's a gentleman. He's our Father. He's our Creator. And he will not invade your body without your permission. So think about it. But if you ever give it up, he's going to use it to glorify his kingdom. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Let me go to the switchboard. Good morning, Cynthia. Deborah, I have you.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. After I realized today was Saturday.
It's okay.
Yes, Lord. I said, Holy Spirit, thank you. Y'all have been on here wondering where in the world. Of course, Cindy would have called me Dr. Fletcher. But thank God. All right. This morning, which one of you beautiful ladies want to do the prayer? And then we'll get started. I'm going to leave you both live for a moment.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Dear Father, we come thanking you, God, for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, I come thanking you for Dr. Fletcher. I thank you for Deborah. I thank you for obedience, Father God, for giving us the heart and mind to want to wake up on a Saturday morning and do what you called us to do, and that is to spread the good news. Father God, we thank you for what will be said and lives that will be touched by this radio show this morning. We thank you for our audience, Father God, knowing that we would have no show if it had not been for those and continue to be those who listen to the show. We thank you, Father God, that every word that comes forth will edify you and will give hope to the listener. Father God, we know that you can turn relationships around in the name of Jesus. We know that relationships can be healed, Father God, in any moment and any time. We thank you, Father God, that we are your daughters and that you gave us the perfect mother for us. Despite the shortcomings that we all have, our mothers were picked out just for us. And we thank you, Father God, because if it had not been for those mothers, we wouldn't be the women that we are today. So we just thank you, Father God, that you continue to move in a very real way in the lives of your people. Father, we dare not take it for granted that you could have chosen anyone to give this message to for this purpose. So, Father God, we just thank you. We will not take it for granted. We'll be ever so mindful of the task at hand, knowing that it is all about you and not about us and what you're having us to do in this season. And so, Father, with that, I just say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Whew. Okay, well, what I'm going to do, ladies, I'm going to go and let the Holy Spirit speak, and then I'll come back and pick you guys up in a few minutes, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Yes, I tell you, just mothers and daughters, I just want to thank you for just participating, like Cynthia said. It makes it so easy for us as far as, you know, we are spirits and a body, and the body does pull and tug on us for some reasons or the other. And it's just good to know that God is using us, using our body that he's given us to reach out and to go out throughout the world. You know, when I heard about Jesus said, to spread the gospel, to go throughout the world, Jesus walked everywhere he went. You know, every once in a while he had a donkey, but I think the donkey was the only time when he was coming in to what I want to say is the week of before Easter, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, you know, praising him and all that, and he had the donkey. But I don't remember ever reading, and I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But I don't remember him ever stating that he rode anywhere except for a boat. But most part, and then he showed us that he really didn't need the boat because he could have just walked on water. So a lot of things he did, you know, even the disciples probably didn't even know because they couldn't handle it. They wasn't ready for it. So when he got ready to walk someplace, he just got on that water and walked. I mean, you know, he's passing by and they're looking up saying, well, who in the world is that? That's got to be a ghost, you know. But he was about his father's business. He took a shortcut. Rather than going around, he decided, I'm just going to go straight. You know, the shortest point to any place is a straight line. You know, that's quickest. Rather than going to the left and taking all that side road and going up the mountain, it's just so much smoother. Let me just walk across the water. Never thought about it because what? I have power and authority, and the water will obey me. The winds and the waves, everything will obey me. Peace be still. And it was, you can imagine, it was like glass. He just walked right across that water. But Peter, he saw him and he said, wait a minute. When they found out it was Jesus, Jesus, really? Is that you? If that's you, sounds like the Satan, doesn't it? And Satan, like, if that's you, do this. And Peter, if that's you, so he said, okay, let me just show him something. Here comes the doubt. And if I don't show him that's me, everybody's going to think they were dreaming. They're going to think, well, maybe it really wasn't. If he kept going, they would have had a doubt. They would have really never thought that was Jesus. So God used Jesus to glorify his kingdom, to show them how powerful he was. He said, go ahead, let him come. Bid me come. Come on. You know, big and bad, come on. But then when he got a couple of steps out, the body started talking. The body said, wait a minute, hold on. How does this work? And he started going down. Whenever we take our eyes off of Jesus, that's the demonstration. You got to come boldly, but when you come boldly, he came boldly. But somehow or another, enemy started talking into his intro conversations, and he started having conversations. Once you start having conversations with the enemy, you have taken your eyes off of God. And when you take your eyes off of God, the enemy will pull you under. So as he was going under, he reached his hand up and said, Jesus, save me. And every time we say that, he will save us. He will reach down and pull us up. Jesus will have compassion for you. So good morning, good morning. As we speak this morning, to mothers and daughters around the world, we welcome you to the platform of Good News God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. God wrote it down, and he's asking us to share it with you. The book, you can go to mdbn.org and purchase the book. You can follow along with us as we pick out different, whatever the Lord lead us to do. That's what we are talking about. I'm not trying to follow it step by step. We're just going to go according to what God says. And he said to flow. I'm assuming that's what it is. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, sometimes somebody might be on here. The Holy Spirit might need to hit on something else. So I'm not guiding this. I have released myself to the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure he's going to meet the need of everybody that he needs to meet here on this radio program. So you are with Mothers and Daughters at the round table, together sharing the good news. And that is God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. Our program is based on Ezekiel 16:44. And God said, as is the mother, so is her daughter. I want to thank my host this morning, Cynthia Oliver, and we have a guest host this morning, Deborah. She's sitting in with us. We just appreciate Deborah coming in. You know, we love to have her comments. We love to have someone else's point of view. And that's why we open it up to you. And we understand if you don't click one. And that I don't want to beat you up because of that. I'd rather have your presence. I'd rather have you listening to the Word of God and not be fearful to speak. I had one young lady said to me just last week, she said,
You know, I want to say things, but I just the thought that someone's listening to me, my tongue get twisted. And I said, I understand that. I said, I used to be that way. And she said to me, what, you? I said, yeah, I can't believe that. Yeah, I did. When God started asking me to go out to speak, water would run down my arm. I was so scared and so nervous. I prayed so much that it snowed. It was talking about snow coming. I prayed and I prayed. It snowed so much we was out of work for 3 days. People started asking me, can you pray and ask God to let it snow because we need a couple more days off. It got to be a joke. But I couldn't do it. So I understand it. But I just thank God that you're listening and that you're taking it away, and I know that you're sharing it because God would not plant a seed in your mind that will not branch out into someone else, to someone else, because you will tell it, because you'll see someone else or know someone with a situation, and you will tell them. And we get more people going back listening to the program because, you know, they go through Facebook and they click on it and they listen to it, or, you know, they go at night or whatever. I mean, people go back to the archives, and I'm just looking at it and says, okay, they're going back and picking it up and listening to it. If somebody's talking to somebody, and I just really, truly appreciate it. We appreciate it. And so don't put no pressure on yourself. Sit back, relax, get your favorite drink, get your pen, and we're just going to share what the Lord put on our heart today. If you want to text your friend or call your friend and tell them to join us, they can call in at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. To listen, and if you want to say something, click 1. Or you can go to mdbn.org. M is in mother, D is in daughter, B is in bonding, N is in network.org. And you can listen to the radio program live with us. A lot of people do listen to it on their phones, and a lot of them listen to it on their computers. Our stimulating topic this morning is God's compassion for mothers and daughters. God's compassion for mothers and daughters. That is so powerful. You know, sometimes you may think that God has forgotten about you. Look at my mother and daughter relationship. Why are we struggling? Why can't I have a relationship with my mother like my friend has a relationship with her mother? You know, there are a lot of questions, that's going on in the intro conversation that people are just having in their conversations, but they're not actually having them one-on-one because they're afraid to approach the mother. See, when you raise a child and you raise a child in fear, that child is going to have fear as she grows up. And when she becomes an adult, it's not going anywhere. They're still going to have that fear. So when they want to talk to you or share something with you or ask you a question, fear is going to come up first because they remember when they tried to ask you a question when they were small and you spanked them. So once you spank a child for asking you a question or trying to get clarity of understanding, you just place their mind inside of a prison because now they're saying, you know, I don't know if I ask her, she might spank me again, or she's going to yell at me, or she's going to tell me I can't watch television, or she's going to tell me I got to eat my dinner and go to bed. See, they're going to be processing all these things in their head. And why would you spank a child for asking a question? They are children. They are learning. They don't know. You have to always leave the door open. I told my daughter when she was little, no matter what you want to know, you can always ask me, and we'll talk about it. Now, you may not get what you want out of the deal, but we will come to a compromise. Now, I believed in that. Somebody said, well, she's just a child. Yes, she's a child, and she's learning. And parents, you got to stop treating children like adults. You can't do that. They don't know. That's why you're the mother. That's why you have the years ahead of them to help them. And it comes with compassion from the mother to the daughter. How you expect for God to have compassion on you when you don't have compassion on your children? Think about that. Well, you get it from your mother. Your mother didn't have compassion on you, because if your mother had compassion on you, you would have compassion on your children. Now, my mother had compassion. She would let me ask the question. But when she finally said, that's it, and that's it, she didn't want to go no further, because, see, I was a child that if I take you down this road and you answer it and it didn't seem quite right, it was like something was missing, then I'm going to take you down the next road. And I'm going to keep taking you until my mother said, okay, that's it now, I'm done. I done gave you the explanation. Because, see, I was wiser than my years. And I was looking for more of an adult, you know, I wanted the full answer. And if I pushed her too much and she couldn't really think of how to put it to me at the appropriate age and time, then she would get a little frustrated and say, okay, well, you know, I gave you the answer, and that's all we're going to talk about on that. Let's let it rest. And so, but I'd walk away thinking, something's missing. And that gave me the compassion to say, you know what? When I have my children, I'm going to let them ask me anything they want. And I told my daughter that. And that's the relationship we have now. She would come to me and she'd say, Mommy, I remember she was 3. And she said, you said that I could ask you anything and you would answer. And I said, yes. And the reason she said that was because I was laying in bed and my spirit said, go in the kitchen and check on Angie. I got up, I went in the kitchen. She had taken, rather than coming and tell me she wanted some cornflakes, she had taken the chair and put a box on top of the chair and climbed up to get on the stove to get the cornflakes. And I'm thinking, and no one thinks, you know, my husband just placed them up there and never thought, but she knew they were up there, and she decided to climb up. When I got there, she was weaving back and forth. And I just grabbed her and I popped her. And you would have thought that I had actually killed her. Oh, not killed her because she wasn't being hollering, but you would have thought I'd beaten her to death almost. She was crying and hollering, and I was nervous. And I didn't mean to pop. It was just a reaction, because I always tell her that, you know, I was not going to spank her. We were going to always talk about it. And that to her was a break in that promise. I'll never forget this. And so she went in the room, and I took the chair down, the box down, and I thought, oh, Lord, thank you. All I could see were her falling back. She went into the room, and she closed the door, and she was crying. She was crying. She was crying. And I was crying. And finally she came back, and I was praying. I said, Lord, okay, I told her I would never spank her, just, you know, GP. She came back, and she just tugged on my clothes, and she looked up at me. She says, Mommy, you said that I could always come to you. And I could ask you anything, and you would answer me. And I looked down at her, and I ain't but so tall myself. She was real small. And she looked at me, and I'm looking at her, and I said, yes, I did say that. She said, I don't understand why a big person like you would beat up on a small person like me. And I'm telling you, mothers and daughters, I lost it. I picked her up, and I said, baby, I said, I would have never popped you. I said, it was a reaction, because we always talk about things. You know, she was only 3. And from that day on, I had compassion for my daughter because I made her a promise. And to this day, she's a grown woman with her own children. We still have that kind of relationship. I don't want to spank you. That's not going to do anything but bring hardship. I didn't realize I was having compassion. See, I didn't prepare this morning. The Holy Spirit just speaking. But that was compassion for her. Because in her mind, she could never win. She could never see herself beating me. So she was always going to be at the disadvantage. So mothers and daughters, think about that. Mothers, think about that when you're talking to your children. When you first want to spank them before you, they just only want to know. They're asking a question. They don't know. They've never been here before. You don't know everything. And you're at your age right now, you still, as like a newborn baby, every day you are learning something new. supposing your boss or your husband or somebody spanked you every time you asked a question. You in class, you ask a question, you get a spanking. You're in a learning environment. So look at your children as being in a learning environment and have compassion for them. But in order for you to have compassion, you got to know what compassion is. Even though I didn't, I got a lot from my mother and our relationship, because if we'd had a different relationship, I would have been a different type of mother. But I knew to go to God, and I knew to ask God to help me. Because I said, God, I don't know what to do with this child. I really don't know. I was 21 years old. I'm like, I'm a young woman. I don't know about no babies. I'm an only child. I never had any babies to take care of. I never had any siblings in my house. It was all about me. So I need you to help me. Tell me what I should do. And he would do that, even when she was a teenager, even right now. I go to God for my daughter. And the good thing about it, she go to God for me. So not only do I have compassion for her, she has compassion for me. And therefore, my grandkids can see the compassion between the two of us and the compassion that we have for them, as well as their father. I'm not trying to say we're a perfect family. We have our disagreements. My daughter and I may disagree on something, but I can tell you one thing. It's not too important for me to stop talking to her. If we disagree, I say, okay, we're going to taper this. Where did that come from? Sound like my mother, right? I said, we're going to taper this. I just used a different word, not realizing I was saying the same thing. I said, we're going to taper this, and then we'll come back to it later. Whenever I feel something coming up in me and I'm getting defensive and trying to defend myself, I will not say something to my daughter that's going to hurt her feelings that she stops speaking to me. I'm telling you, I'm not going to do that. I don't do that with people, but I'm definitely not going to do that with my daughter. We'll talk it out, we'll taper it, or most of the times we don't even come back to it because it's not that important. I look at the one thing, what is important to me? It's my relationship with my daughter. I can't even imagine going around not talking to her or she not talking to me. 10 minutes, if we taper something, I can't handle it. I'm calling her because it's bothering me. Or she's calling me. And we just, that's it, done, finished, move on. Life is too precious to linger. That's the devil using you. And especially when you're Christian women, we are Christian women. How are you going to stay in anger and into a negativeness against somebody? I tell people, you know, somebody said, well, you don't have to be in somebody's space to love them. Sometimes you have to love them from afar. But even at that, you have compassion for them. Anyone that has a beef against me, I pray for them. I get up and I pray for them. I send them love and blessings. I ask God to bless them because it's not that important. I want to stay in a grace and a place that I can receive the compassion of the Lord. And if you tend to your own business, it's enough to try to fight this battle for your own life, for your own mind. That's why I say you have to mind your mind. And to mind your mind, you got to throw away some distractions. You got to clean out the things that are around you, because otherwise you get overcrowded. People, when the minds get overcrowded, the interconversations are coming so fast you cannot decipher what you're doing and what you're saying, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, you're insane. You're sitting in a room with padded walls, or, you know, you're talking back to people. You're not acting sane because what you didn't mind your mind. You allowed too many people to enter conversations, television, radio, negative this and negative that, friends that you think are your friends that's not your friends, and they're saying things, they're talking you down, never a good word. Hey, I told the client of mine last week, and I tell my clients this, see yourself in a circle and see boxes all around you. and you take those people and those things and those situations and you put them in a box. Just take them all out of your head. You're in the center and throw them in boxes. Some people got two or three people in one box, but just put them all in boxes and see yourself there with a clear mind standing in the center of that circle. And then you're going to address each one of those. Those boxes are thoughts. So you, the thought of this person, the thought of this thing, the thought of this bill, the thought of this situation, the thought this ain't going to happen, the thought, put them in boxes, label the boxes, and then rest. And then when you want to, you go to that box and pull that one out and deal with that situation. Let the rest of them stay in there. May seem like this, oh, that's crazy, Dr. Bessie. Well, may seem crazy to you, but think about it. It's not crazy. It's called organizing. And anytime you are unorganized, you are frustrated. Think about that. Is that crazy? You see somebody's desk, they got papers all over the place, and you wonder how in the world. If you got a cluttered space around you, you got a cluttered mind. That's it. If your house is cluttered, your mind is cluttered. Because if you're in peace and you have an organized thought process, things around you are going to be organized. That's like setting a goal. How are you going to get where you're going if you have not set the goals and the objectives to get there? If you're doing anything in school, anything on your job, you got to know where you're going and when you're going and make an individual plan for each one of those. Say, for instance, if you're in business and you got a meeting, you got a, what we call a calendar. A calendar is the same thing. It's organizing things in different little blocks. On Monday, at 1, I'm doing this. 4, I'm doing this. At 7, I'm doing this. They have their own little block. You don't see one open piece of paper. They got a little block that says 1 o'clock, and you write in there. You're putting it in there. That's the same thing with your mind. Take your thoughts and put them in little blocks. And as you get to that allotted time and space and you want to deal with it, pull it out, deal with it, get rid of it. The box will be there for you to put something else in it. Now, the Lord wants somebody to hear that because that just came out. We're talking about compassion. Compassion. We got to be able to be compassionate to people. If you're compassionate with someone, you're working out of love. Love and compassion, first cousins. They're first cousins. They are so close. You can't do one without the other, really. You can almost pretty much say they're twins. Because it takes love to be compassionate. Because you're going to have to think. You're going to have to think about the other person. You're going to have to think about what they are feeling, how they're feeling, how they're receiving information. Compassion is sympathy, empathy, concern. It's a kindness. It's consideration. It's caring. All of those are ingredients in the mixture of love. Think about that. Empathy, meaning that I empathize. I've been there. I've actually experienced that. The ladies that we are teaching within the prison system, a lot of times I hear them and I understand what they're saying to me, but I can't empathize with them because I have not been in their shoes. I have not walked in that particular situation. But God will send a combination of people. Some to empathize, some to sympathize. And certainly those that care, that's considerate enough to do it, even without monetary value. That's the spreading of love. He said, I want you to go out throughout the world and minister to mothers and daughters. And God even told me in 1997, when he actually told me about this program. Well, he told me one thing he wanted me to do, and that was the last thing I was going to do, which scared me. Not scared me, but it was alarming. I'm like, am I going to die or what? And he didn't say anything for 2 years. And in 1999, in July, he said to me, I want you to do mother and daughter counseling workshops and create the first mother and daughter bonding center. And that's where it began. And in September, in Boston, we did the first mother and daughter conference workshop. So he doesn't tell you everything he wants you to do right then and there. It's like he told me about the program that we're doing now. It was in 2008. Some ladies said to me, one lady said to me, Vernet, she said, I remember we wrote that. But he gave it to me as Daughters with Mothers in Prison. And what happened? He spoke to Cynthia, led us to the prison. We've been there now almost 4 years. Now he's saying, I want you to do the college. Cynthia and I. So here we go. And we taught our first classes last week. The college is born, it's birth, it's a baby, it's growing. But if we didn't have compassion, we wouldn't be able to do this. And then he sent us these wonderful ladies to help. I don't want to call names because I might miss somebody and that'd be the worst thing. So all you ladies know who you are. They all have compassion. But guess what? Out of that group of ladies, there's some of them that empathize. They've been there, done that. Now they are living a life. They've come out of the, as they say, the rough side of the mountain. It's not glassy smooth because nobody's life is going to be glassy smooth. But they have demonstrated, I've been down in the valley. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. They walked through. Some went back, came out again. Some came out, went back, came out again. But they made it. And they're going to come in and help. They're going to have compassion. And they're going to be like Jesus walking on the water. They're going to extend. As these ladies say, help, we're going to extend our hand. We're going to pull them up. That's compassion. Now, when I look, I'm just going to tell you chapter 2, the book. It says, here's some more good news for mothers and their daughters. God has compassion for the mother and daughter relationship. No matter what state or condition your relationship is in, be encouraged to know that you can turn it around. And I mean you can turn it around now. You do this by repenting and saying only the words of God that represent your vision of your ideal mother and daughter relationship. God will honor your will as long as it lines up with his. He will allow you to start all over again and simply create a whole new dynamic, one that is positive and pleasing to God in your mother and daughter relationship. Let's just read it from what it says. How do you start all over again? Well, again, you start by creating a relationship with Jesus Christ, making him your Lord and Savior. Once you've done that, keep reading and allow God to reveal the answers to all your mother and daughter concerns. When I say keep reading the book. Pay close attention to Mark 11:22, where Jesus gave this strong hint. He said, have faith in God. That's the key right there. You can't do anything until you have faith in God. You got to believe that God is God. You got to believe that he's your Father. You got to believe that he's your Creator. You got to believe that he created Jesus to come and save us. You got to believe that. That's how you have faith in God. You got to believe what he says. You got to believe his word. You got to believe that in his word is his promises and that he's a man that can't lie. You got to believe that if he said it, he will do it. You got to believe if you believe that you can move God, because he said only faith can move me. So if you don't believe, he's not moving. That's it. Bottom line, he's not a man that can lie. The enemy's job is to keep you from believing. Don't help the enemy help you fight God with the word doubt. But really, or you believe, Lord, no, you're out of faith. But God's going to wait on you to get yourself together. When you get yourself together and really believe, then his word will manifest. And, of course, it's not coming when you want it, because if we could do it, we'd have it done. Wasn't meant for us to do it. There's a time and a place for everything to come together. And you're not going to hurry him, and you're not going to rush him. It's already written, and that time is in place. You just keep doing what you're doing, and you are going to walk into the word of God. In another New Testament passage, John 2:1-5, you'll find a simple, powerful suggestion from Jesus' mother, Mary. Jesus and Mary was at a wedding, and they was running out of wine. And she said to him, they're out of wine. And he looks at her and said, woman. Now, most of us get mad if our child says, woman. He's woman. What does that to do with me? My time has not yet come. So what time was that? My time has yet not come. We don't know. But she looked at the servants and she said to them, I'm going to read it the way it says, do whatever he tells you. That's John 2:1-5. It's in that passage. Do whatever he tells you. Because she knew once he told them, a miracle was going to follow. You see the compassion she had for her son? She knew as a mother, God had shown her something inside to ask him to do this. He didn't know. She, because of her compassion, she said, son, they need some wine. They're out of wine. And this, you know, this is their wedding. She wanted him to have compassion on the people, the guests, not let the bride and groom be embarrassed because they ran out of wine. They had an important figure there. And she wanted him to have compassion. Somewhere along the line, her compassion touched his heart. And he said to them, go and fill all those barrels up with water. And they went, and it was like, I can imagine, I'm paraphrasing now, water? Nobody wanted any water. We got to walk all the way down to the field and bring these things back and fill it up with water. They want wine. But she had already told them, whatever he says, just do it. Meaning, don't question him. Just do what he told you to do. Because she knew a miracle was going to follow. So I often think about that story. If Jesus told us what the Father says, he said, I only say and do what the Father says and does through me, then why won't we just do it? Because she said, just do it. And when they completed it, they looked at him and said, the barrels are full. And they're looking like, now what? And whatever he said, thought, or felt, waved his hand, he told them, dip in it and take it to. I think it was the king, and you can check that out for yourself. But it was a person of importance. And they took it to him. And the person that was taking it was nervous. Because I'm taking him water. But when the guy took a sip, he said, wow, how great is this? Most people give the good wine first, and once people get a little drunk or a little intoxicated, then they bring out the cheap wine. Who gets the cheap wine first and then bring out the best wine later? But had his mother not told him, we would not have that story. We would not have seen the first miracle. A lot of people want to forget the first miracle, but I'm not going to go into that today because that's not why I'm here. So whatever Jesus asked you to do, just do it. To start all over again with your mother and daughter relationship, you first have to have compassion. You have to look into your life, mother. You have to know that you've made mistakes yourself. You have to know that. And you have to forgive yourself. Because if you can't forgive yourself, you can't forgive your daughter, you can't forgive your husband, you can't forgive your friends, your son, you can't forgive anybody else, because you're going to have a hard spot in your heart that won't allow you to be compassionate completely, unconditionally to your daughter or anyone around you. And that's for it. I'm going to go. I'm going to open it up. Go to chapter 2 in the book and look what God says about compassion. God had compassion for the lady that says, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'm going to be healed. If I could just get there and put my hands on the tip of his garment. He could have said, he did say, wait a minute, someone touched me. I was like, Jesus, there's a lot of people here that can touch you. What do you mean someone touched you? He said, someone touched me. I felt virtue coming out of me. And then the lady confessed, and he had compassion for her. By your faith, you are healed. See, we have to do something. Take action. Show him something. Because that action that you take, that is saying to God, through Jesus, I believe you. Good morning, Cynthia.
Yes, ma'am. Well, the only thing I wanted to share is from page 37. Even though Jesus questioned his mother, say, woman, what does that have to do with me? She was his first influence of compassion for the people in that situation. So that speaks very pointedly to the subject today, and that's on page 37. And pretty much that's my take on it. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Wow, okay, that's all you got? Okay.
That's all I got.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. That is to the point right there. Say no more. He showed her how to have compassion. She demonstrated that motherly compassion by just simply saying, even though she didn't say it, it has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with compassion. And so thank you for allowing me to share that.
Okay, thank you. That is the one thing that, and that's a clarity on that too, because I was saying that she showed compassion for the people, but that's a good point to bring back around. That was his first experience. Well, I won't say his first experience. That was an experience of her seeing him, and he's feeling compassion for the people because he had to have felt something in order to do it. Because he was saying, what does that have to do with me? It's like, well, what do you want me to do? But yet, he felt something in his heart. He was convicted and felt compassion. What would that feel like for them to run out? It would be embarrassing. You know, I don't want them to be embarrassed. And so he said, okay. And then, you know, the Spirit spoke. I'm just throwing out my thoughts here, you guys. I don't have any answers. I'm just throwing out my thoughts. But that was a way to see that God did show, Jesus showed compassion. Okay, thank you, Cynthia, for that. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Praise the Lord.
Good.
Can you hear me?
What is your take on it? Yes, ma'am, I can.
I tell you, I got
so much. I'm just so full because I just want to just really quickly jump back to when you was opening it up, talking about forgetting it was Saturday and all of that. And I was so glad to know that I wasn't the only one that was trying to press my weight, because I was laying in bed saying my body would seem like it was so exhausted, like, I just can't get up. Like, oh, can I play sick today, God? Can I not, you know, all of that, right? And amen,
uh-huh.
And all of that.
Uh-huh.
So I got on up, and I'm saying, Lord, well, when she asked me, what's my take, you know, Lord? And God was saying, hey, you show up, I'll show out. You open your mouth, I'll speak. You just be the, be a willing participant to be used by me, and I'll use you. And I pray,
amen,
Lord, that whatever we say, that will glorify you, edify the people. And you came right on, and you just confirmed all of that, and that, you know, what God was saying to you. I just thank God for that. And now, my take on the compassion, it's just, it's so much. I'm just going to say just a day. I was
take
gonna,
your time. Go ahead.
I'm just going to make this point that when we're dealing with people, especially in my career now, working with the hardest of the hardest population, there's times I have to remember, you know, you were short with your compassion. You know, because I deal with men, sometimes I feel maybe I got to come off a little stern, but then I come back because God is saying, you could have been a little softer, you could have been a little more, you know, and it's a process for me to learn how to, you know, to be in a position of supervisory or management or whatever, and try to be effective and not just be barking orders, you know, or, you know, do what I say, when I say, what I say, and all of that, and, you know, and so I'm learning. And one of the things that helped me with the people, and when I'm off track, is, you know, would you like it if somebody said that like that to you? You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you like it if your name was attached to that very sentence that you're going to say or you're thinking about saying? Would you like it? Like, even now, I have a situation with a young lady. Something happened on the 4th, and I was already feeling some kind of way before in my spirit about, you know, they had a little cookout or whatever, and I told her I didn't have any money at the time, and, you know, I usually pay my way, whatever I need, you know, like, so I didn't have any money. Made a long story short, she called me and asked me for more money about some plates I took, you know, to me and my boss and the other boss, and I got a little offended because of the way she came off. So now I know we ride together every Saturday morning to the meeting, like by 11:10, she usually be in the car with me going to the meeting. So I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to be holding nothing. I don't want to be, you know, even I felt offended. I just don't want to be holding nothing. I want to, and you talking about compassion, and I'm saying, okay, this Saturday, I'm going to tell the real deal if you forgave her. Is she going to send her that text and say the ride will be ready? So I had to send the text and say the ride will be ready. She say she's sick. She say she's sick. I said, thank you, Lord, forgive me, Lord. You know, because I'm still processing my pain, you know, but I'm learning to have compassion, Lord. Like, just, hey, you know, she ain't there yet. You know, you hurt people's feelings, and you come off rough sometime. And remember, treat people how you want to be treated. I'm having my own sermon preaching to myself for compassion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the greatest thing I think Jesus did for us was God said, I'm going to come down and have compassion on the people. I'm going to come down in the form of a child. You raised up and sacrificed my blood for the people, for the people. And I'm saying, if God could do that, can I get over a little simple offense? Somebody said that, you know, got mental health issues, and you're going to let somebody with mental health, you know, take you around the corner down the street, and now you feel like they feel? And so I understand what I'm working with. So, but still, I say, Lord, let me hold it for me. No, I don't want to hold it. I don't want to hold it, because I know that, and I hold it, it gets worse. I'd rather just pull it up like, you know, I'd rather pull it up now. It's a little weed, then to let it go to a big oak tree and have to chop it down.
Right.
It's more work.
Right.
Have compassion early, then I'm going to have to be working that hard later to have compassion. I had to send a text to her, because I always do. Are you riding? And she said she ain't feeling well, so she ain't ready to ride with me. But, hey, my heart is clear now. If I didn't send a text, I'm holding. Still holding, but compassion, yeah, compassion. We need it. We, you know, and like you said, love and compassion is like cousins. And I know we talk about that, the fruit of spirit, and compassion is one of them, long suffering and gentleness, meekness, kindness, and forgiving, and all of that. And so if we say you got love, then you got to have these fruits of the Spirit. You got to have this stuff. And so when I'm short of compassion, I say, God, help me, because it's not my will. It, really, the kind of person I am, it's not my will to ever have anything against anybody, because I thank God has blessed me with that type of personality that I just love people. I'm a people person. I just love people, and I don't like the whole nothing, because I don't like the feeling, and I don't want to be blocking my blessings.
Uh-huh.
You know, God said, I said, Lord, forgive me as I, keyword, as I forgive others, like that. No, Lord, don't forgive me like that, like I forgave sister. You know, no, not like that, Lord, you know, because I know that wasn't right. So I want to be in compassion and dealing with people, because, you know, no matter where I go, I'm going to deal with people, I'm going to deal with us, I'm going to deal with me. Wherever I go, there's people on the job, there's people at church, there's people on the phone, there's people in the mall, there's people on Facebook, there's people. So teach me, Lord, how to deal with people. And I love the book of Proverbs, because it gives me wisdom how to deal with my own kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to the book of Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest of all, and I steal some stuff and I practice it on certain people, because, it, you know, some days it ain't easy. So I thank God.
And Deborah,
for allowing me to... Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I just thank God for allowing me to just say that, because, you know, I was feeling, you know, I said a little bit weary in this week since a little incident. Just my neighbor, you know, like I can't not feel. She stayed 2 doors down, you know. So,
right.
So Lord, just thank you for me say, you know, because you talking about compassion, and she just kept coming to my mind. All you were saying kept coming to my mind. I'm saying, Lord, you know, I want to be able to just move on to the next episode, the next experience, the next chapter, and holding nothing. So not to hold on, to have compassion for people, for people, because I'm in my humanity, and I've sinned, and I probably offend, ain't no problem, I do offend people. And what I mean to or not, I do. And so I'm asking God to let me be a little more gentle and put my name in the place and put me in the midst of the thing that I want to do and say to people, and would I like it if it came across to me like that.
And, you know, Deborah, we all go through it. I go through it, too. That's a part of the challenge of life. You know, it's like a little tester. God will allow things to happen and just sit back and see how we're going to handle it. How's your heart? And there ain't no one out here, and I don't care how they try to make you think that they're so much better than you are and they so much closer to God and It's all, we all going to be tested every day. It's like I said in the beginning. Mothers, when you have children, they're asking questions. Every day we're learning new things. The enemy tried to get me to sleep this morning so that I wouldn't teach this lesson. Not only is the lesson for you, the lesson is for me. I tell people when I come on and I'm talking about a particular topic, you better believe the lesson is for me. And anyone out there, if you allow the thought to come into your mind, you get a little offended, you think, well, she didn't think about me, or she did this, or she didn't give me enough time, she didn't do this, or she didn't do the other. You know, you allow the devil to come in and steal, you know. But when you release yourself to the Holy Spirit is going to do what he needs to do, and he'll take the time he needs to take. And so we have to be compassionate, because nobody can offend us unless we allow that to happen. And if we allow it to happen, then God is going to allow us to go through it. Now, how are you going to handle it, Bessie? You allow yourself to get offended. Now, how are you going to handle it? And you're right. Wow. You should have sent her the text. You sent her the text. You have made your move. As Janice used to say, and sometimes she still does say, is like, the blood is off of me. Now, the blood's off of your hands. You good to go. You made the move of love, and it's up for her to accept that. And you're just going to keep. And today I would suggest that you just pray for her. Send a love and peace and release and forgive yourself and forgive anything that is connected to it. And I'm telling you, feel free. And every time we do that, we step up and up and up into his glory. He just want to see how you're going to handle it. Because if we have compassion for others, God will have compassion for us. Thank you, Deborah. I appreciate you sharing.
Thank you.
All right. That's our show for today. Hold 1 second. I'll be right back.
Been listening to the
the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. All I'm saying, have compassion. Whatever you do this week with your spouse, with your children, with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with your friends, just ask yourself the question, how would I want someone to treat me? Am I treating them the way that I want to be treated? That will move and shift your mind into a mind, the state of compassion. Because if it doesn't feel good to you when you ask that question, then you know you need to do something about it. You need to have compassion. You need to do like Deborah. Send the text. Don't change anything that you're doing. Still work out of love. And what you're doing, Deborah, is showing the young lady that you work, that you are a godly woman and that you're working out of love. And she's going to feel that love because she probably are expecting you act a certain way. Now you are not acting the way that the devil was trying to get you to act. So she's going to see love and compassion, and she's going to feel it, and it's going to help her because maybe that's something that she needed a dose of. Maybe she needed a seed, and now she can say, well, wow, she could have been angry with me, but she didn't. She did call me. She did text me and still want to give me a ride. I didn't expect that. See, you got her thinking now. I would have thought she would just go on and wouldn't even say that to me because that's what the devil wants. But you showed Christ this morning when you did that, and Christ is going to have compassion in your life. He's going to show up for you. That's my take on it. Have a good day, and God bless you. Just remember, always ask, is that the way I want to be treated? God bless you. Bye-bye.